Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in studio. Father Trevor Shequin is with us here this morning from Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic and St. Mary's Parish in Oneida. Good morning. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you.
Glad you took a little bit of time out of what is normally a very busy week. A Holy Week is the most revered. It's the most important week. The Easter, the most important holiday, and not just the Catholic faith, but for any of the Christians out there, it's the most important time of the year. It's important that we kind of get in touch again.
Exactly, and I think it's a strange Holy Week. Let's call a spade, with everybody kind of stuck at home and all the social distancing. Even as you and I are sitting almost 6.5 feet apart across the studio, and yet it's something so important in the lives of Christians. Holy Week, that is, that we can't even move it. It's a celebration that merits being had. Even in the strangest of circumstances, that we would pause and celebrate Christ's triumph over death, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension to new life, and that he brings us into that ascension as well. I wonder if this Holy Week, so often I think, we think about Holy Thursday, we meditate a lot on Good Friday, on our Lord's crucifixion, and then we spend a lot of time with Easter Sunday, with our Lord's resurrection. I don't wonder, and you tell me if I'm crazy, if this Holy Week won't be the Holy Week of Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday is the day we kind of spend thinking about our Lord in the tomb. Nothing's going on. Life has stopped for him. He's dead. The world is totally quiet around him. In a sense, we're kind of, a lot of us, in the tomb right now with Christ. In a real unique way this year. We are living a Holy Saturday. We've been crucified, we've died, we've all gone home, and now we're awaiting resurrection. And boy, is it comforting, at least for me, to know that we have a God who's been there too.
It's important anyway. It's difficult this year in the fact that we don't get to congregate together as we normally do to have those celebrations.
It is, and I think different churches in town are doing different things to do what they can, but I think perhaps even there's a call right now. We hear a lot about the goodness of people being displayed in these days, and I wonder if there isn't a call in this sort of solo Holy Week as we celebrate united in strange ways, but all at home alone, if there isn't a call to be good in a special way to our neighbor, to really reach out to those in our own communities who might be isolated, who may have no one to be with them, that elderly neighbor perhaps who doesn't have the kids to come home this year, that person who was widowed in the last year who, boy, not only do they not have their spouse anymore, but they've got nobody else. I think there's a real call for us to imbibe, if you will, the spirit of this week for our community, even as we do it in a remote way.
And we may want to reach out. We may want to try to be more neighborly, but, we then again, too, have to be kind of careful how we do that.
And I think that's something I know at our parish we've been very conscious of, is even as we encourage people to do good in these days, we want to follow the directives of those responsible for our care. Look, we're not dualists, especially as Catholics, but as Christians. Mind, body, soul, and spirit are one package we call the human person. And to neglect the body completely, recklessly for the sake of the soul doesn't do the soul any good either. And so we want to be conscious of the mind, body, soul experience, even for our, our neighbors, as we seek to do them spiritual good by staying a bit apart in these days.
I have seen this week notes about Bible sales going way up as people are thinking that we're not sure what's happening and we can't control it. And when we feel like something is out of our control, we look for something to ease that. Is that kind of where you see that going?
It's interesting. I think anytime there's some sort of a moment which makes us pause and think about life, whenever we brush up against our own limitations, there is a tendency to turn toward toward the Lord, and I think that's good. I think I heard the other day that the number one search on Google had something to do with God, which is probably a change from, the everyday existence. I think, though, it's important, to recognize that we have a God who loves us, who obviously, as we celebrate this week, we have a God who knows what suffering is, right? Look at the person of Jesus Christ. That's largely the point of the story this week, is we have a God who did not stand idly by to watch us suffer, but one who suffered with us. At the same time, we have a God who loves us, and that's important too, because I don't think God sent this plague. Every now and again, you hear somebody saying that this is a test, or somehow that this was sent to, you know, purge and purify us. Well, look, the Lord may use this for his purposes. He can use anything for his purposes, but let's be clear, the Lord doesn't cause plagues, you know, a la something in Exodus to come upon us. Will he use it for his purposes? Sure. But we have a God who loves us and who wants us to pass through this as quickly as possible and return to, you know, to normal.
Sure. Well, in all of this, with the circumstances that we're facing these days socially, how do we prepare ourselves for Christ's return?
That's, you know, I think that's a good question. I think it starts with, you know, you and I looking at our own lives. Often, I think we're really good sideline coaches. We love to look at the lives of others or the lives of a nation as a whole, but really, the lives of any group are just the lives of the members collectively put together. And you and I can affect no life better than our own. So we look at our own lives and say, okay, where is my life in line with what I know to be true by virtue of what we celebrate this week? Where is my life in line with the master who washes his disciples' feet? Or am I the one who expects to have my feet washed? Where is my life in line with the God, the Son of God, who himself goes to Calvary and dies? Or do I expect others to die for me? Where is my life in line with the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? He is the Savior, my Savior. I have been washed in his blood, and my life is redeemed. Or do I kind of wonder, do I think I need to do something to earn his love? If we each start by examining our own lives and living according to what we learn from the great mysteries of this week, then boy, are we not on the road toward living as a group a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. As we prepare for the Easter season, at the culmination of the Easter season, mm-hmm. so much of that has to do with how we gather, Holy Thursday, mm-hmm. Good Friday, right. Perhaps Saturday night, mm-hmm. with Easter Vigil in the Catholic faith. We've got Easter Sunday Mass and services around the area. In the Catholic faith, so much of all that revolves around the Eucharist. That's what the Mass is all about, mm-hmm. is preparing, which is a meal, which is our opportunity to gather together to enjoy a meal together. Mm-hmm. How do we reconcile that? Because we don't really have a chance to do that this year.
Perhaps there's a sense of, you know, the old Lenten fasting here, right? Fasting is where we abstain from something we know to be good for us because it changes our hearts and it purifies our souls. And we've been put into an involuntary, so to speak, situation of fasting. We can either look at it as a huge burden, which, let's be clear, it is, or, you know, whether it's gathering for Catholic Eucharist or any sort of service, you know, as we fast this Easter from being together, perhaps our desire to be together will intensify. Perhaps our desire to go to church will intensify. We'll see it not as a burden, but as a privilege, as something we are honored to do. Look, I think of classmates I had when I was doing graduate work from China, who had to practice their Christian faith almost illegally in the cover of darkness, who couldn't come to church, and how for them it was a great privilege, a great honor to be able to express their faith. There's a sense in which perhaps we take it too casually. We're just so used to being able to do it that maybe this will cause us to stop, think twice, and realize what an honor and a privilege it is to bear the name of Christian, to attend our church on a Sunday morning, and to be gathered as the body of Christ.
Yeah, freedoms tend to make us sometimes a little bit lazy about those freedoms until they start becoming a little bit narrower. We start to get some of them taken away. And in some respects, we have lost some of our freedoms, mm-hmm. because of what's gone on now. But it's a time for introspection, too, not just because we have given up some things for Lent, you know, friends, extended family.
Fish fries,
yeah. Lots of things we've given up, a lot more than we intended this year.
Yeah.
It's been a difficult time. But over and above the overriding circumstances with the virus that's changed the way we are doing things right now, it's a special time of the year. It's a time where really it ties the entire year together.
It does. And it's a time, I think, where we realize that even this life is not contained The whole of existence is not contained in this life. We see Christ rising to new life. We see him ascending to the Father. We see him unlocking the gates of heaven. We know we're bound for something greater. We know that we too will rise from the dead. We will rise from any circumstance we are presently in with him. And at the end of the day, we know he's our only hope. There's nothing else. We're not getting out of this alive. None of us. Our only hope is in the Lord, and to him we look, and in him we have confidence.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing here today. Appreciate it. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to everybody.